Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Cuz, don't even try it, okay?
Now, here's Anthony Gargano.
Why don't you get the hell out of here, cuz?
Good morning, everybody. Happy Thursday. Snow day to all across the Delaware Valley. So, I will tell you, please, if you don't have to go out, do not go out, all right? I'm telling you right now, the roads suck, all right? Driving on mashed potatoes, snowing heavily in certain spots, it's nasty. And then what happens is, you got one of two drivers. See, like everything in life, I'm more in the middle. Now you have, there's this lady, I felt so bad, but I was freaking out. She was literally going 5 miles an hour on the Schuylkill, right? And in the left lane. So I got to get off at State Line Avenue. And then when you, there's the spot where it splits, right? So you're like stuck behind her. And she's going, and she was in the left lane the whole time. 5 miles an hour. And I know it's bad out, so I don't want to be mad at her, but, you know, she's going so slow. And then when I was able to finally get around there, she was like, head leaned up, face toward the windshield. And then you got the other thing, big trucks flying by like it's, you know, May and sunny. And there's no in between. There's no in between. And by the way, you're slipping and sliding, and you're going all over the place. And you're driving on mashed potatoes. So just please watch yourself. I saw three cars spun out. I saw one on the bridge, on a Ben Franklin Bridge. Terrible. So just watch yourself. And don't go out if you don't have to go out. So, here's the deal. Are we nuts? Sometimes I think we're stone crazy. And I say this because the reaction to the Sixers last night for blowing a lead. Well, first of all, there's no Simmons, right? So, right off the bat, you're not going to be as good defensively. Second of all, you know that they need all, for them to be a dominant team, they need everybody healthy and everybody playing their roles. So, of course, they're going to be prone to streaks, right? Moments in the game, runs, where there's moments in the game where they're banging threes. So, of course, they jump out to this big lead. And the Rockets come back. And John Wall, God bless him, Energizer, you know, going back at it. And the amount of complaining on social media about the Sixers blowing the lead. It's ridiculous. Like, did you wake up and watch a basketball for the first time? Like, first of all, you understand that there are runs, and sometimes during the regular season, you're gonna have lapses. Second of all, especially when you're without Simmons, your best defender. I mean, why must we have this attitude all the time? Oh, they stink. Oh, they blew the lead. Oh, Doc's gonna say a win is a win. Yeah, a win is a win in February. It is. It's a win. We have turned into maniacs. Absolute maniacs. And it's stupid, quite frankly. It's like we don't understand the game. Goes back to watching a basketball game and following a basketball season like we do football. What the hell is wrong? You got to watch it with less emotion. I'm out. Second round exit. And it's not just like two or three idiots. It was a lot of people. And I'm going to say this. Do I think you don't know what you're talking about? No, I do. I think you know. I think you're insane. I think with that attitude, you so want to win the title in February that the process has made us goofy. Now, I understand, but it's got to stop. It's got to stop for you because it just ruins your enjoyment of following the season. And that's what I want to talk about today. The enjoyment of following during the season. All you want to do, the playoffs. All right, well, can you read the middle of the story before you skip to the end? You got to explain to me why you're like this. Why? Why can you not get any enjoyment out of the whole season? Can there be no enjoyment out of that? I'm genuinely asking the question. Judas, help me out!
I have one reason. That's about it. That's the only reason I can give you. You got it? That's the only reason. They didn't cover the spread. That'll be the only reason I can give you. Other than that, I don't think it's because I don't understand why people are freaking out. I really don't.
Because, so you think, huh? So you think it's all about the gambling?
Well, for some people, I'm sure it is. There's a lot of people who are like, oh my God, here we go again, blowing another lead. And it's because they know that they took the six.
All right,
to cover
so
the 10
tell
and
me,
and
it was 10 and a half.
Yes.
Okay.
And they obviously did not cover that. And I think that's part of it for some people. But other than that, I mean, I don't know. Maybe people don't know the flows, the ebbs and flows of not just a basketball season, but a basketball game. Obviously, when you're up 30, guys take their foot off the gas pedal. Joel Embiid has been dealing with a bad back ever since LeBron James threw him to the floor for no reason. Obviously, he's not going to keep on pushing it when they're up 30. And what happens when he needed to? He put his foot on the gas pedal. He scored over 15 points in the fourth quarter. And they won the game. That happens. You also, no offense to Isaiah Joe. Maybe he turns into something. He was getting run when they were up 30.
Exactly.
That's what happens in basketball.
Well, sometimes I wonder, do we know? I really want to believe because I do think we are an intelligent fan base. I do when it comes to every sport. I believe that. And I believe that having been around the country, yeah, numerous times. I believe it. But I guess it's just, maybe it is just, you laid the 10 and a half and so you got upset. And shame on me, I didn't even think about it. I just checked Twitter and I went, I don't even feel like I'm out. And
yeah, but that shouldn't be the reason. Like, all right.
I agree with it.
Listen, but no, people are going, oh, second round elimination. Well,
no, I agree.
You can't go that because your bet didn't hit.
No, I agree with you. I'm just trying to figure out what the hell's wrong with us. Like, sometimes you go, well, you're insane. And here's the thing, right? The social media is crazy everywhere. I understand that.
Oh, yeah.
But I got news for you. When it comes to sports, it's way, way more intense here.
Yeah.
I'll use the word intense.
And like you said, it wasn't two or three knuckleheads. It was a large amount of people.
It's intense. And listen, I believe me, I'm not making excuse for Wentz, but Wentz is probably going, you know what? Bleep these maniacs. Let me go to Indianapolis where you got three people who care about the Colts and they're happy on their farms. And I'll go play football in a docile place. Like I got my, think about this for a second. Now, again, we understand what social media is. But after a while, if you're Carson Wentz and all you do is get mocked
over and over again.
With your wife and your kid, don't you go, you know what? And you got two middle fingers, and you're going, hey, you all and Howie, go bleep yourself. See ya. I'm in Indianapolis. I don't care what you get for me. I'm going to where I want to go. And I started to think about that last night, saying, listen, I think ultimately he's got blood on his own hands. He, you know, he's probably a brat, the whole thing. But if we're all in this situation, if you're in that situation and you're just getting your balls broke, twisted, all right, and you're getting stabbed over and over without mercy, sooner or later you go, you know what? Go scratch. Right or wrong?
Yeah, I hear you. Now, you could also just turn off notifications and not read any of those things.
Yeah,
and,
but unfortunately, you know, like it. You always say, this is not the time that we live. We don't live in that time.
Yeah, I know. Guys like to search their names and, you know, Jalen Reagor, how many times he deleted his Twitter account 4 or 5 times because he felt like he needed to because he was getting crushed. But then it was his own fault to constantly come back on. Like, why are you coming back on, dude? Just stay off it.
Well, yeah, I hear you. And that is a very logical, you know, answer to the whole thing. But what if Jalen Reagor goes, I'd like to be on social media. That's all I know is social media.
Yeah, but you got to know what comes with the territory, right? So he's got to deal with it. He can't get upset and delete the account 5 times.
Well, here's the thing. When he was in college, it wasn't like that.
Right.
It's not like that.
He was the king.
And it's not like that in a lot of other places. But you come here and, you know, listen, I said this a million times, all right? Because being born and raised here, you know the ticket. There are Hall of Fame ball breakers in this town.
Yes, there are.
Growing up, listen, one of the first times I can remember, I was a little kid, all right? And I had the Bean, his older brother, who was like 20 years old, calling me Brillo Pad because of my hair.
Right. I remember. Yeah.
This guy, now I'm a kid. I'm 6 years old. He's 20. And he's going, yo, come over here so I can clean my mother's pots.
That ain't right, man.
Right?
That ain't right.
I'm 6. Right? Where'd you get that hair? Right? I mean, I got macaroni pots. I mean, like that. I mean, listen, I'm 6.
Right.
I just thought that was normal.
Carson's later 20s and is coming from North Dakota.
Exactly. Like the culture shock of coming here, sometimes I don't think we understand it. And it was really, it dawned on me, it crystallized for me last night as I'm reading the conversation about the game.
All right, so
I go, what are you, insane?
During your open, I sometimes like to put out your opening statement on social media, and there's two responses regarding the reactions to the Sixers last night. The first one is from Jeff. He says, it's never enough in this city. It's exhausting. I'm honestly sick and tired of it. I've been loving every second of this Sixer season, and I'm done letting this negative fan base bring me down. The other response from Dan, he just straight up say, guilty as charged. He's one of those guys last night that reacted and was going nuts.
Well, I appreciate Dan and his honesty.
But I would love to hear from people like Dan.
But again, here's the problem, right? The problem isn't Dan. It's the collective environment in what was laid down. Really, it was Dan's grandfather that created the environment. And my grandfather and your grandfather and everybody who ever came here off a boat, right? And
okay,
and settled here. And the word of the you know, years past was bum, right? That was the word, bum. He's a bum, right?
You bum.
Right? Right?
He's a bum.
Right? That's where. Now, here it is. Modern day, all these years later, the bum is translated to social media. And the bum and the, he's a bum. They stink. Right?
Okay.
That is now on social media.
Yeah, and it's a lot more harsher than just using the word bum.
Right, because you can. But the point is that it's not Dan's fault. Because it's in the soil. Right? It's in the soil. But here's my question. How does it change? And maybe the answer is it's never going to change. And why should it?
Now, well, let me say this. I agree with you. I don't think it'll ever change, but you would admit it's gotten better, right?
It's gotten better.
Just the negative attitude over...
Huh?
You showed me a video once of Eagles fans outside of the vet when there was a strike just beating each other up.
Okay. So, it's a product of the time. In that era... That was permissible. It's not permissible by society today.
Okay.
Thus, that behavior plays out on social media. That's the same thing.
So it's permissible to be, you know.
Right. It's not permissible.
A J.O. on social media to on be, a constant
to,
basis.
To be outside the vet pummeling people. Right. But 1978, apparently it was.
Okay.
Right? You know, you walked in, we know the story, wearing the Redskin headdress, like the guy, the Redskin fan, the Washington football, whatever fan did back in the day, and the guy got, unmercifully beat up.
Right.
Right? He got beat up. The thing got plucked. Right? It was terrible. But that was the behavior in that era. Now we know that we can't act like that in these days, but we can use whatever sewer language we can or want in social media.
Interesting.
And it's the same behavior.
So you don't think it's really gotten better? It's just transitioned into another area?
Yes. It's gotten better. I mean, again, society evolves and goes, you can't just punch a guy in the face without repercussions.
Right.
You can't have a mob mentality and go and beat up a Giants fan, 12 dudes. Right? Like, this, you can't do that now.
But you can rip the Giants fan until he cries on Twitter.
Yeah. Or you can rip, same thing with the player, the athlete. Like, dude, did I ever tell you the stories about there used to be a guy? I'll tell you one story real quick. You ever hear us talk about Mike Reichenbach?
No.
You ever hear him, double nickels, 55?
No, I remember you saying double nickels before.
Okay. Well, there was a, Eagles had a middle linebacker, Mike Reichenbach, number 55.
Okay.
So, big dude, right? So he goes into a nightclub and called Scruples on South Street. And whatever, he was mouthing off or something. There was some kind of altercation. And it was him and somebody. I think it was the kicker. It was somebody else too with him. Anyway, they got beat. Like, they got beat to a pulp. And there used to be, outside the nightclub on South Street, you ever see the little trees that are on the sidewalk?
Yes.
They propped them up on the tree. Now, this guy was a middle linebacker in the NFL. And they propped him up.
What?
Next to the tree. He dead out. Dead out. Bloodied up. And this dude was a middle linebacker.
Because he missed a tackle.
For the Eagles.
Right.
No, well, I think the guy was being fresh.
He's fresh. Okay.
But whatever. That's the point. That nowadays, guys live in ivory towers and there's no mingling and whatever. So nowadays, it's all about social media. Interesting discussion.
Yes, it is. All right.
Let's get it started. I'm curious what you guys think. 610-632-0975. 610-632-0975. That's how you reach us. Cuz Radio with the Tunis. And again, be careful out there. It is really, really bad. All right. Let me talk to you about my uncles. Uncle Greg, Uncle Paul, family Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, right there in the airport on the mall. And, you know, they've already kicked off that annual President's Day event. Always a big deal with the uncles. So here's the deal here. You can get monumental savings with, how about this, up to $15,000 off MSRP on your favorite new models. You believe that? Get 0% financing for 7 years. That's right. The uncles, they make it easy for you to get behind the wheel of a new ride. I mean, the deals are amazing. And I have sent everyone there. Over the years, I've been with the uncles forever. And people ask me all the time, I need a new car. I'm having a baby. There's an addition to the family. Well, you know, I need a new ride, but, you know, my credit or finances are different. Well, guess what? The beauty of the uncles is they'll work with you. They've been doing this for three generations. So let them navigate. And then you can navigate the new ride out of the dealership. And if you don't want to go to the dealership, no problem. They'll deliver it to your driveway like a pizza. Check them out. I'm telling you, the uncles are the greatest. You will fall in love with them. At Family Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, they want you to know that you're more than a customer. You're family. Online anytime, familyautos.com. See the uncles for details. The offer expires March 1st, 2021.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
Time for some morning thoughts.
Wake up, Philadelphia!
No! God, please, no! No!
Time now for morning thoughts.
Hey, lady! Shut up!
Will you just shut your trap?
Shut up!
Please go away. Let me sleep for the love of God!
Because what were you thinking about this morning?
You know what I was thinking about? It was a couple things. One, I was paranoid.
But paranoid.
I kept waking up with the storm. Like, is it snowing? How bad is it? You know. So I kept, like, I had that storm paranoia going. So I have the equipment to do the show from home, but, you know, that's frowned upon. So I want to make sure that, you know, if I can make it in. So, like, you know, I don't know. I'm going to keep looking outside. And now that I moved to the boondocks, right? I don't know. So I was at that paranoid state. So then I checked my phone and I saw a bunch of Instagram messages how there was numerous people yesterday who had grilled cheeses for dinner. And I just want to...
Oh, really?
I just want to thank them for listening to the show. And including Nikki, there were several, I think it was almost a dozen people I counted, who ate grilled cheeses last night for dinner.
Now, I forgot to bring this up to you, and I'm sorry that I didn't. Remember our great tweeter, the uncle from outer space? Do you remember the uncle from outer space?
No.
He's the one that tweeted us from the future. That the Sixers were parading on Broad Street a few weeks ago. The uncle. But anyways, the uncle from outer space has a coworker who's also on Twitter. who tweeted us that during the BLT segment, the uncle from outer space went to go get a BLT because of our conversation.
Really?
Yeah.
That's
so we
awesome.
Got him craving a BLT.
Oh, man, I love that. I absolutely love that.
So, yeah.
The uncle from outer space.
We were helping people out with the food. I love the uncle.
So do I. I also love the idea that we put it in, like we plant something.
Yes.
And then people go, look, I gotta keep it 100. And I was feeling a grilled cheese too. I didn't make it.
No grilled cheese.
But I was feeling it. After all that talk about the grilled cheese,
yeah.
I was like, you know what? I have to go for
the grilled cheese. And also hear me out, the just the cheese quesadilla are a staple now on Fridays.
Lenten Fridays, yes. Meatless
because
Fridays.
Because Meatless Fridays, the grilled cheese and the just the cheese quesadilla will be a staple in my life for the next, 40 days or so.
I think that's how pizza, Friday pizza, came into existence.
Like, that makes sense.
I don't know about you, but growing up, we had pizza every Friday night.
We did a lot of Pizza Fridays, and I remember being like, can I have pepperoni? And I was like, no.
Right.
And I was like, oh, yeah.
But we had meat. Did you have this a meal schedule?
No, not really. Not really. My mom was home a lot when I was a kid, so she just, made stuff. So she mixed it up a lot.
She mixed it up?
Yeah.
We had pizza every Friday night. Now, my mother would make the pizza.
All right, so you didn't do the order. You didn't do the takeout.
No.
Okay.
She made homemade. She made a good pizza, homemade pizza. So we would do the pizza every Friday and the pasta on Sundays.
That's nice.
And then it was always like a chicken cutlet on a Tuesday.
I love a chicken cutlet.
The chicken cutlet Tuesday was always like a,
late in the week, we normally did. It was like a leftover day. Whatever was in the fridge still, we would eat that. So there was always a leftover day.
Yeah.
Late
it was always
week.
Like she would always do the chicken cutlet on a Tuesday. Thursday was like a pasta. Friday was pizza.
Right.
Saturday was always like takeout, sandwiches, or whatever.
Well, that's nice. Yeah, for us.
No schedule.
No.
So do you do a schedule now? Do you still have pizza on Friday?
No. Go with the flow.
The Pizza Friday was a big deal.
I got to ask you if I'm married to somebody who might just like murder me in my sleep one day. The oven beep, the beep, 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 the three beep. Well, I can't find the three beeps. I can only find the single beep. But after a while, how long would you want to turn this off?
No.
Okay. I've been noticing this about my wife recently. She lets it go for like 3 minutes. So yesterday, she was making a chicken in the oven, okay? And it starts beeping. She pulls the chicken out and then gets the little thermometer to check if it's fully cooked. The beeping is happening the entire time. Then she puts it back in the oven. Then she and this is not a span of like 3 seconds. This is like a minute or two goes by, and it's constantly beeping, the triple beep. Now, I'm scared for my life.
Dude.
Because I'm upstairs watching the Sixers game.
All right, so, dude, you got a major problem. Because here's the other thing. The fact...
I have called her out on it.
Yeah, the fact that she dealt with the three beeps that long, and she's in the medical field. So she's... Remember.
She's used to the beeps.
So, no, well, yes and no. But here's the other thing. This is why I would fear for your life. If you're working in the medical field, that means you don't have that skeeve gene. In other words, like most people don't really like, don't kind of are squeamish about blood.
Yeah.
And, cutting, right? Or like squeamish about that stuff.
Right, right.
Your wife is not.
Right.
She is not squeamish.
And she also knows where to cut if need be.
Correct. So the fact that she's not squeamish and she's insane.
And she's not bothered by the beeps. I'm in trouble.
You got major issues.
I'm a sleep with one eye person from here on out.
She's going to take you out.
I mean, dude, you should hear me. I'm like, can you turn that off?
Yeah, and the fact that she that doesn't bother her.
Not at all. At all. Like 2-3 minutes of the triple beep from the oven.
Did you ever see those, what's that show? Where like women going mad?
No.
Not Girls Gone Wild. No. It's like one of these shows. What was it called? Oh, my God. And it's all about crazy women who just, you know, they murder you. They poison. Like, let's go to the Princess of Poison. And, like, she poisoned, like, 11 dudes.
Oh, good. Okay.
Like, in the 50s.
Nice.
Yeah, right. I don't know. Yeah, it's a show. It's like a half hour
show. Yeah, they might remake it soon.
It's like Psych.
I'll...
No. It's basically stories of mayhem.
Right.
That women cause.
Based off of true events.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, they are. It's all true.
Right. Yeah, so they're going to have a new episode soon, I'm sure. When I don't turn up for the work.
Oh, my God. What was the name of that show? I'll find it. The name of that show. Scary. But Christy, you know, she's not squeamish,
Not squeamish and not annoyed by the triple beep.
That scares me.
That's a lot of beeps in a 2-minute span.
I'm worried for you.
All right. Well,
I really am.
I've enjoyed my time working with you.
All right.
In case I don't turn up.
All right. Well, at least we'll know, although who knows what Christy will do with the body.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Fanatic.
Joining us, one of the greats. Now we just love him. Watching him. I watch him every game. Post, halftime, pregame. He, of course, the great Jimmy Lynam. Jim! What's happening?
Hello,
buddy.
Anthony DeCuz, how you doing, pal?
Hey, you surviving this weather?
Yeah, how about it?
I know you hate it. You just want to be golfing right now.
Not this weather, I don't.
All right, let's talk a little hoop, man. I tell you, I don't know what it is, but every game, I enjoy this team. Do you get that sense of just enjoying them?
No, I've enjoyed them right from the outset. Absolutely.
And what
I think it's difficult to get a full handle on anybody, I think.
Yeah.
Because of the nature of this season. But that's, no, I'm with you. That's not keeping me from enjoying, the way this team plays and the success that they're having.
Yeah, I do. I enjoy them. I enjoy their game. I look forward to watching them. And I'm curious what you think, because it is really difficult to assess them. But if you had to look at them, what do they need in your estimation? I mean, we could sit here and talk about scoring or off the bench or whatever. But what do you think?
Well, let me just say one thing first. You were talking a few minutes ago when I turned the channel on with respect to Embiid. So let's identify that they have something really, really special in the, not just his talent, but the way he's playing. I mean, he's had a monstrous performance through, let's say, the first half of this season. So having said that, what do they need? I think my concern is 3-point shooting. We've heard this before, but in the league that, I'll just give you one example, Anthony. The other night, Brooklyn, without Kevin Durant, is playing in Sacramento. You ready? They shot 48 threes in the game at 89 shots, and they made 27 threes in the game.
Yeah,
Kyrie made nine, and James Harden made six.
Yeah, he had the triple-double that night, Harden.
Yes, correct. But really, 27, that's 81 points, 20, 27 threes is almost as much as the Sixers' average taking threes. The Sixers average under 30 threes a night, like 29, let's say. This team made 27.
All right, now, can I say one thing? I just want curious. I mean, because this is such a great conversation. But, like, Sacramento plays no defense, right? And neither does Brooklyn, right? Like, Brooklyn doesn't play. Now, I grant you, when Durant's there, the three of them, I mean, it's just all firepower, right? It's all bomb away. But if you could play good perimeter defense.
Right, no, that's the whole point, Anthony. You can't play good enough perimeter defense against the three ball the way the game is played today.
Yeah.
Ready? Watch. I got a text this morning from my grandson. Last night, Golden State played. You know how many threes Steph Curry shot last night?
I saw he shot,
you ready? 5 for 20 from three. He won the game. He made two big ones late. He himself shot 23.
Yeah, the game won the overtime. I remember watching that. I saw early the score, and then your point's right. I mean, I saw earlier Miami was up big, and then Curry shot him back in the game. Yeah.
But my point.
No, you're right.
Ball. You cannot ignore this. Too much. My son set me up.
Oh, no.
Average 23s a game. This guy shot 23s himself in the game.
Yeah.
The point that the game has changed dramatically.
Yeah.
Not to identify it as missing a point.
No,
so my,
right.
that's my concern, that they have to shoot threes at a higher clip, I think. I think they're way at the bottom of the league in terms of attempts. I'd like to see more three-point attempts and hopefully a couple guys joining the Seth Curry group in terms of making threes.
Can I just say one thing? You as my guy I love, confidant, a basketball genius that you are, I so hate it. I hate that Steph Curry took 23s. I don't mind a little bit of it. Like, I don't mind half of it or even three quarters, but this is so ridiculous anymore.
Well, I hear you in a sense. You're not alone, Anthony, that a lot of people feel that way. But the point is that if you look at the statistics, the analytics of it, it's inescapable.
Yeah.
You know, like just to go out to the playground. You're driving in and getting a layup, but I'm at the other end raining a three. You know, threes beat twos over the long haul. It's that simple. And in the old days, you know, I remember when Rick Pitino was an early guy shooting threes on the college level, and he was ahead of the curve. And back then, if you'd made more than one out of every three, you know, if your team could shoot 34% or 35%, these top teams now are shooting 40%.
Wow, I know.
You look at Utah. Utah takes over 40 threes a game, and they make two out of every five they take.
No.
So
Jim, I hate
about
to, Sixers, I hate
three
to do
game
this.
Scares me a little.
I feel you. It's a great point. I hate to do this, but we just got word that Wentz just got traded.
Oh, wow. Well, hit me with who? You got to give me who.
He got traded to the Colts where he wanted to go for a three and a two that could turn into a one.
So they didn't get a one?
Nope. It's a conditional two that could become a one. So that's where it is. That's what they get. So it's finally done. You like it?
Well, I'm going to just say one thing. My history for conditionals that could turn into, the conditions rarely happen.
Yeah.
I don't know what the conditions are.
Listen, you love football. You've been following football your whole life.
I'm a big fan.
Wentz. How would you remember Carson Wentz?
Real simple for me, an enigma.
Where do you assess where it went wrong?
I think he was the MVP. We'll call it borderline MVP. His second season to a below mediocre quarterback this season. an enigma. How do you figure that out in the space of 4 or 5 years?
I know. And, you know, it's very depressing. I'm really disappointed that it worked out this way.
I'm right there with you. Right there with you.
Shame. It really is. I thought the kid had ability, man.
He did. I think the injuries, Anthony, that's the only possible conclusion I can draw.
Yeah.
I'm not a football guy expert.
But you are. You know the game.
The injuries took a monster toll.
That's a shame. Coach, we love you, brother. You're the best.
Do your thing. I'll be listening.
Thanks, pal.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Here he is, the Pope of Football in Philadelphia, the great Ron Jaworski. Joss, I can't believe it, man.
Yeah, I can. It's the way the NFL operates at times, and you are 100% correct. I remember calling you from Fargo, North Dakota, at that time a snowy day in Fargo for Carson Wentz's pro day, and I remember telling you and Missinelli later that this guy is special. I mean, he was special. There were some head coach there that said the best quarterback workout they had ever seen. And that included guys like Hugh Jackson at that time, the head coach of the Cleveland Browns. And, he put on a clinic. He had a great 4 years here in Philadelphia. He had a great 4 years. Year five was not a good year. He played poorly. But that does not mean he doesn't have talent. And if you quickly look at this right now, Carson got what he wanted.
I guess I look at the culmination to this moment, right? What bothers me is how the whole thing was handled. Listen, we all know he was terrific Super Bowl year, and Nick comes in, it was great, and there were some issues, certainly some fallout. But they still never put enough around him. They tried, but they failed in their attempt. And then how come, you know, I don't know, his mechanics were off or terrible. We hear about coaching. How come they couldn't clear the air? I mean, Jaws, I mean, I remember the stories that you would tell about you and Dick Vermeil, right? And the communication channels were there. How come none of this could have been fixed?
I wish I could answer that, you know, 100%. I can't. I don't know if anyone can. You know, I said this to you a number of times. This was an organizational failure.
Yeah.
Carson Wentz had a bad year. No, yeah, he had a bad year. No, I mean, you know, when I talked to you during the week, I looked at the tape, and then the guy in the sky doesn't lie. He had a bad year. He is not a bad quarterback. And you mentioned having people around him. You know, look at the guys that got, you know, Lane Johnson out, Brandon Brooks out, Jason. Look at the litany of players that were out this year due to injuries. And by the way, if why I say in another degree Carson Wentz won, just look at the Indianapolis Colts offensive line. Left tackle, Anthony Costanzo, first round.
Mm-hmm.
Quentin Nelson, first round. Center, Ryan Kelly, first round. Right tackle, Brandon Smith, first round.
Mm-hmm.
Mark Lewinsky, acquired from Seattle, fourth round. There's talent up front. You're going to see.
There's talent in the backfield.
He did not have that with
Jonathan Taylor, one of the great
South Jersey kid. Yeah,
right, who can run the ball 25 times. How about the litany of receivers? Michael Pittman, who's going to blossom into hell of a receiver. He's got
Paris Campbell, second round pick. Pittman's a first round pick. You know, who knows what will happen with T.Y. Hilton? He's up in years, but you know, he's got blazing speed. So, you know, they have talent there. Jack Doyle's a very good tight end. So, you know, when I say Carson won, he held out. And I've said this to you the last few weeks. I wish he would have said something. I wish that we could have known where he was. But if you look at this right now, you know, he got what he wanted, and I think Howie did a commendable job of salvaging what he could out of a bad situation with the potential to get a first round pick. Hey, you know, we are joined at the hip now with the Indianapolis Colts. You know that we are rooting for them big time. We're rooting, you know, in kind of a bizarre way. Now people have to root for Carson to play well. They go to the playoffs. He plays 75% of the plays, and Eagles get a first round pick. So, you know, we are joined at the hip with the Indianapolis Colts.
It's amazing. Like, I mean, Carson Wentz is playing for Frank Reich and Doug Peterson doesn't have a job. I mean, what kind of, this is 3 years. This is almost 3 years ago. Jaws.
2020 carries into 2021,
oh
I guess.
My God.
You're absolutely right. Frank Reich has Carson Wentz and Doug Peterson doesn't have a job. And, you know, hey, that's a discussion for a whole nother time, you know, how this thing really spun out of control. But, you know, I think Howie did a good job of salvaging a bad situation, getting a few draft choices and, you know, getting rid of a $10 million they have to pay, but you still got to eat a big, you know, a big salary cap. By most accounts, the stuff I've read online, it's the biggest salary cap that any team has ever taken.
$33.8 million.
Yeah, so that's
an expensive deal.
That's why it hurts, because you can't sign your players. You can't, you know, you can't pay out the bonuses. And the cap's going down $20 million this year, at least right now. That's what they're looking at. So there's a lot of moving parts, but it just boggles my mind. But I want to throw in something else.
Yeah.
This goes back to probably maybe for me 15, 16 years ago. I was with Mike Shanahan, who at that time was the coach of the Denver Broncos. And we were talking about quarterbacks in the draft. And Mike always gave me some tremendous insight on what he looked for and what he liked. And he told me that, you know, what he likes to do as part of his preparation for drafting a quarterback, but he'd have his staff prepare a highlight film of the player in college. Show me all the throws that he's made, all the great throws, all the great plays he's made. And I remember saying to Mike, you know, I kind of look through the bad plays too. You know,
yeah.
You know what? He goes, nope. He goes, I don't look at it that way. He goes, I want to see if this guy can make the great throws, can make the great plays. And then he says, I know he can do it. So if he comes to my team and he doesn't make them, that's on me and my staff. And so yeah, I'm thinking of this. You know, I'm thinking of Carson Wentz can make all the throws, but you got to do it consistently, and you got to get that out of him, and you got to put him in a situation where he can make the plays. He didn't make them this year. But why? That's what you got to figure out. That's what Frank Reich's got to figure out. And probably for Carson, you know, he knew he wanted to go with Frank. He knew he wanted to go to Indianapolis, and he got what he wanted.
Mm. And I guess there's talk. Schefter talked about them looking at a quarterback, bringing somebody else in. Whether that's drafting another quarterback, do you see them? I know it's early. I know you haven't dove probably that deeply into it yet. You're probably just starting that process, but you think that they would go after Justin Fields or Zach Wilson?
I think, Anthony, there is that possibility. If there's a guy that Howie, Andy Weidel, Tom Donahue, and their entire staff likes that they think, you know, could be a tremendous 10-year starter for the team, I think, you know, they could go in that direction. It's always possible. Like you said, for me, I've just started my tape evaluation of the quarterbacks. But from the people I've spoken to in front offices, and by the way, I did speak to a lot of people in front offices in regards to what was going on with Carson, but I also asked some questions about quarterbacks. And the feeling is there are probably four or five quarterbacks here that are first-round worthy. So you may not have to get that guy at number six or move up to get him. There may be someone that could fall to you. You know how the draft is always crazy and bizarre, and you can't predict anything. So who really knows? There may be someone there that the Eagles like that falls to 22, 23. They trade, they move, they do whatever they got to do, because Howie's done a good job in that regard of moving around to get in position. Now, he always hasn't been that great in drafting the right player based on their performance in the NFL, but he's a wizard at moving around and getting in good position.
I guess it's probably a day for another conversation, but just because it's part of the fallout, Jalen Hurts is a terrific kid. You root him. You want him to succeed. He's a beautiful football player. Like, he's just got that way that you love him. But can he be a franchise quarterback? I mean, there are some limitations there. How do you kind of view Hurts in the equation?
Yeah, I mean, he certainly plays a big role in where this team is going right now, and I guess we will find out around draft time how much they do believe in him. When if there is a quarterback that they feel strongly about available at number six, do you take him? So that's always a possibility. Jalen Hurts has shown enough to me that I think he has the potential, to be a long-term starting quarterback. I don't foresee the ceiling being so high he's going to be right. a Deshaun Watson kind of player, but I think he is a very good player. He's proved that he can play at a high level, although it wasn't a big enough sampling for me to say, oh man, those four games he was awesome. I think he had certainly some moments of brilliance and some moments of being a head scratcher. So I don't think you can make a true evaluation that he is the guy. You're putting him in charge of your franchise, because that is a heavy burden. But I also know how the Eagles feel about him, how a lot of the guys on the past coaching staff even felt about him, that he was just a tremendous worker. He's a wonk for hard work. He loves to study. He loves to prepare. He can't get enough football. So that's what you want to hear about your quarterback. And I heard that from coaches. So that's what you want to hear about the quarterback. Those are all positive signs. But I think that the sampling is just too small to anoint him as the quarterback for the next 10 years. Hey, we did that with Carson, and it lasted 4 or 5.
Well, they traded up to draft him number 2 to be that guy. That's the big difference.
And he was that guy. I mean, he was that guy. I mean, we can nitpick this all we want. You could either take Carson's side, or or you could fault him. Whatever. I mean, there's enough there to make an argument either way. It's just sad for me because in 16, Howie maneuvered tremendously to get up in that position to draft Carson Wentz, and it's hard for me to fathom because I love Jared Goff and I love Carson Wentz as well. I had him 1 and 2 coming out. I had him reversed. I had Wentz the best and Goff number 2, and they both are no longer with the teams that selected them first and second in the draft. So it certainly is bizarre in that regard, but we have not heard the last of Carson Wentz. As I said, what Mike Shanahan said, he can make every throw. He has made dynamic plays. The supporting cast wasn't very good this year. There was something wrong with Carson. Maybe somewhere down the road we will find out. I have no information of what happened to this guy, but that's why I say an organizational failure, because there's no one person you could lay this on.
It's just sad. I agree with you. He had amazing ability, and he showed, you go back to those plays against Washington where he appears out of the pile, right, after he was going to be sacked, and he throws a dart down the field, and he's got a highlight film. That's a shame.
Anthony, I've been doing that this morning. When I thought of Shanahan, I said, I'm going to pull some Carson Wentz, go on YouTube, pull some plays up. And there was the throw he made to Boston Scott against the Giants this year. That was absolutely remarkable. It going down the right sideline on a wheel route. There's a window there the size of a football. He gets it in there, for the touchdown pass. And when you see those kinds of plays, you get excited about his talent. He makes those kinds of throws, moves in the pocket, vision downfield, knows, had to buy a little time. Those are all pro quarterback type plays. And I think when Frank Reich, who obviously had him for a year, when Frank Reich looks at those plays, he goes, my goodness, this guy can make all the throws. I just got to get him calmed down. I got to get the right people around him. And oh, by the way, and it's been my problem all year long. If I had one problem with Doug, even his tenure here, and I love the guy. He's a dear friend. And I used to tell him, run the damn ball more, coach. Give your quarterback some help. And so Carson's going to Indianapolis, where their feature back is a tough grinder in Jonathan Taylor. They run the ball first and set up the play action. So, it's a good situation for Carson.
Yeah. Jules, thank you for your time today, as always. We love you, buddy. Thank you, bro.
You bet, my friend. Thank you, Anthony. Be safe and stay warm.
You too, buddy. Take it easy. Here he is, great Jaws on the Comcast Business Hotline. Bounce forward.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.